This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello, and welcome to today's readings of selections from the April-May issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, we have a listening with Sam Karner, lyricist and librettist in New York City. And we have an assortment of reviews from the April-May issue that didn't get read during our earlier programs. We have reviews in literary fiction, mystery and suspense, and contemporary culture. You'll hear reviews of My Not-So-Perfect Life by Sophie Kinsella, read by Fiona Hardingham, and Fatal by John Lesquois, read by Jacques Roy. Let's get to it. Listening with Sam Karner, lyricist, librettist, in New York, New York. Sam Karner is a lyricist and librettist for musical theater. Basically, I write the words, he tells us. It's essentially my job to create the text and dramatic structure of a musical. When you learn that one of his current projects is Unlocked, a loose musical adaptation of Alexander Pope's The Rape of the Lock, it's easy to understand why Sam considers audiobooks a chance to check out material that might be ripe for adaptation. I'm interested in cadence and style, especially as it relates to sound, so it's useful to hear the cadence of Mom or Wodehouse. When does he find time to listen? I spend so much time staring at a computer screen that I don't always want to spend additional hours reading. And I also spend so much time listening to music that I don't always have the desire to listen to music for fun. So I end up listening to audiobooks in all sorts of circumstances, like walking the dog. I love walking in New York, and listening to an audiobook relaxes me while she's just sniffing around and doing her thing. Jennifer M. Dowell conducted that listening with Sam Karner, lyricist and librettist, New York, New York. Now today we are going to have an assortment of reviews in a number of areas, and we start out in the area of fiction with 4321, written and read by Paul Auster. Paul Auster's latest audiobook is a strikingly intimate exploration of childhood, growing up, and paths both taken and not taken. Archibald Isaac Ferguson is born on March 3, 1947, and from there his story splits into four narratives, four parallel but entirely separate lives that Archie lives in mid-century America. Auster's narration of his own work is a double-edged sword. His reading is a bit too underplayed. With few flourishes to his voice, the exhaustive details, dialogues, and inner monologues of Archie's four lives are sometimes difficult to follow. However, Auster's deep understanding of his characters, soothing baritone, and skillful pacing outweigh the flaws and deliver an immensely satisfying experience overall for listeners. Andy T. Northrup wrote that review of 4321, written and read by Paul Auster. It's available from Macmillan Audio for 37 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in literary fiction is Huck Out West. It's written by Robert Coover, read by Eric Michael Summerer. Narrator Eric Michael Summerer portrays all-American scamps Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer as they head out west in search of fortune and adventure. This sequel to The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain sounds tonally and attitudinally authentic. Summerer handles the portrayals of the characters, including their accents, with empathy and a pleasing casual attitude. Summerer lets Huck's sympathetic and gently comical voice shine, even when Huck feels pain and loneliness when Tom returns to the East to read for the law and be with his new wife. Summerer enthusiastically delivers the many twists and turns in Huck's new adventures, delighting fans of Twain's famous character. Randy O'Brien wrote that review of Huck Out West. It's written by Robert Coover, read by Eric Michael Summerer, available from Highbridge Audio for 9.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in literary fiction is Hey Harry, Hey Matilda. It's written by Rachel Hewlin, read by Ari Fliakos and Kristen C. Both historically funny and heartbreakingly real, Hewlin's audiobook is a story about twins, family, life's best and worst moments, and what we do when things don't go the way we planned. As the story is told entirely in email messages, narrators Ari Fliakos and Kristen C. portray Harry and Matilda. The quirky 30-something fraternal twins revisit their past, navigate their present, and try to figure out their future. The closeness between the twins is apparent as they share accounts of first kisses, stalled careers, unexpected pregnancy, and family secrets. Listeners can expect to nod their heads in agreement, laugh out loud, and even tear up as they get to know and love Harry and Matilda. Kate S. McDonald wrote that review of Hey Harry, Hey Matilda. It's written by Rachel Hewlin, read by Ari Fliakos and Kristen C., and it's available from Random House Audio for 4.75 hours of unabridged listening. Continuing in literary fiction, we have And Every Morning the Way Home Gets Longer and Longer. It's written by Frederick Backman, read by David Morse. Read any work by Backman, particularly A Man Called Ove, and the first word that comes to mind is charming. Listen to this particular work by Backman, and that charm is only magnified, made more endearing by narrator David Morse. In this novella, Backman's magical descriptions and character portrayals are captured in Morse's gentle voice. And with the story of a grandfather's memory loss, the charm veers sharply to heartbreak at times. As the listener is transported into Grandpa's confusion, his struggles and those of his family become even more real and challenging. Morse's performance is well wrought, with some understandable lapses into preciousness as Grandpa interacts with his grandson, Noah. But these don't detract, and overall, this audiobook is well worth a listen. Leslie B. Fine wrote that review of And Every Morning the Way Home Gets Longer and Longer. It's written by Frederick Backman, read by David Morse, and it's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 1 hour of unabridged listening. Next in literary fiction, we have A Separation by Katie Kitamura. It's read by Catherine Waterston. At first, the distance that narrator Catherine Waterston establishes in her tone seems like that of an artist finding her pace. Then it makes her portrayal of the novel's main character seem flat, too remote. However, it isn't long before it becomes clear that her aloof, measured approach is the unnamed protagonist's very essence, her relationship with the world. Indeed, Waterston's immersion into this recording is nearly hypnotic in its commitment. The main character's separation from her husband turns into a quest to find him. What she finds along the way are dramatic images rising from the Greek seaside village where he was last seen, and reflections on love, loyalty, and one's internal struggles. Waterston travels these paths, including myriad accents and personalities, with a confident stride. Leslie B. Fine wrote that review of A Separation by Katie Kitamura, read by Catherine Waterston. It's available from Penguin Audio for 7 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is My Not-So-Perfect Life by Sophie Kinsella. It's read by Fiona Hardingham. Humor and humility are expertly conveyed in narrator Fiona Hardingham's portrayal of 26-year-old Katie Brenner, who is struggling to create the perfect facade for her not-so-perfect life. Katie's downtrodden moments, which are quickly lifted by quirky optimism, are recounted with a light and amusing perkiness that contrasts with the smooth, articulate elegance of Katie's snooty boss, Demeter Farlow. Hardingham's quick pace and occasional faltering emphasize Katie's entertaining attempts to present herself as refined and successful in the eyes of her family and peers. Hardingham's compelling portrayals of both Katie and Demeter illuminate Demeter's authentic self and Katie's realization that her own life is just perfect. Maya Fleischman wrote that review of My Not-So-Perfect Life by Sophie Kinsella. It's read by Fiona Hardingham, and it's available from Random House Audio for 12 hours of unabridged listening. And this is just a reminder that you are listening to the April-May issue of Audiophile magazine. It's the magazine that helps you to discover the wonderful world of audiobooks. It's my world, and that's why I think it's wonderful. Okay, let us move now into the area of mystery and suspense. And our first review today is Buried in the Country, Cornish Mystery, Book 4 by Carola Dunn, read by Wanda McCadden. The fourth book in Dunn's Cornish Mystery series is narrated by audiophile golden voice Wanda McCadden. McCadden's mature timbre is a perfect match for Eleanor Trewin, a retired world traveler who finds herself assisting her niece, Detective Sergeant Megan Penkerow, in a slow chase through the Cornish countryside to apprehend a couple of thugs. McCadden is a master at delivering the multiple accents of diverse characters, from London hooligans to African college students. McCadden delivers the perfect, leisurely paced cozy in which Cornish countryside plays a major part. There's even a cute dog. Ellen Quint wrote that review of Buried in the Country, Cornish Mystery, Book 4 by Carola Dunn, read by Wanda McCadden. It's available from Blackstone Audio for 9.5 hours of unabridged listening. Continuing in mystery and suspense, we have Darktown. It's written by Thomas Mullen, read by Andre Holland. Andre Holland gives voice to a gripping police procedural that takes place in 1948, but is relevant in today's world. Navigating Atlanta's tense race relations and police corruption, two of the city's first and few Black police officers attempt to solve the murder of a young Black woman. Listening to Holland's soothing reading will make listeners feel like they're walking Atlanta streets on a hot summer night. As the officers work to unravel the mystery and determine whom they can trust, Holland's even pace and reassuring tone keeps listeners engaged. Darktown's realism and pertinence, combined with Holland's expert narration, create a compelling crime drama that speaks to a hot-button issue, and we will face that today. Andrew G. McKinley wrote that review of Darktown by Thomas Mullen, read by Andre Holland. It was a 2017 Audi's finalist, and it's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 11.75 hours unabridged. Our next review in mystery and suspense is Fatal. It's by John Lacroix, read by Jacques Roy. San Francisco police detective Beth Tully, a single mom, tackles a complicated murder case in Lescoix's latest thriller. Narrator Jacques Roy's clear voice and expert pacing will keep listeners engaged with the serpentine mystery. The murder victim is Peter Ashe, a successful attorney who recently left his family after a series of affairs. Also entangled in the case is Beth's best friend, Kate Jameson, who is happily married, aside from a brief dalliance with Ashe a few months earlier. Could she be a suspect? Roy's subtle approach and impressive vocal range make for seamless listening as the story jumps between the police investigation, domestic betrayal, and forays into Beth's personal life. Andy T. Northrup wrote that review of Fatal by John Lescoix. It's read by Jacques Roy, available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 10 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in the mystery area is The Kolchak Papers, the original novels. They're written by Jeff Rice with Mark Davidziak, who does the introduction. It's read by Johnny Heller. Voicing Karl Kolchak must be like slipping on a pair of comfortable old shoes for narrator Johnny Heller. This production makes the fourth time that Heller has inhabited the irascible reporter who keeps stumbling onto weird doings. Here, Heller gets to narrate the wellspring of all things Kolchak, Jeff Rice's original novels, The Night Stalker and The Night Strangler, back in print for the first time in 30 years. The gruff, profane character tackles both monsters and willful ignorance among public officials and his own employers. Heller's smooth familiarity with Kolchak shows why the reporter has remained a favorite among paranormal fiction fans going way back to a short-lived TV series in the 1970s. Like the creatures he pursues, Kolchak, as portrayed by Heller, remains a memorable icon. Dale E. McGarrigle wrote that review of The Kolchak Papers, the original novel by Jeff Rice, with an introduction by Mark Davidziak. It's read by Johnny Heller, available from Blackstone Audio for 9.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our last mystery and suspense is Racing the Devil, Inspector Ian Rutledge, Book 19 by Charles Todd, read by Simon Preble. Narrator Simon Preble slips comfortably into Inspector Ian Rutledge's persona in the 19th installment in the series. Having survived the French battlefields of World War I and a disastrous automobile race in 1919, Rutledge investigates a car crash in the South Downs. Was the man who caused the crash in Nice the same person responsible for the fatal accident in the Downs? Hamish Rutledge's ghostly assistant, who is portrayed with a light Scottish brogue, helps the inspector track down the culprit. The close-knit members of the small town in South Downs are portrayed in a variety of soft-toned accents, with each character subtly differentiated. Preble torques up the tension as Rutledge and Hamish follow elusive clues, determined to solve this convoluted mystery despite the rain and reluctant villagers. Miriam B. Kahn wrote that review of Racing the Devil, Inspector Ian Rutledge, Book 19 by Charles Todd. It's read by Simon Preble, and it's available from Harper Audio for 12 hours of unabridged listening. Now we're going to move away from our mysteries and go into the area of contemporary culture. Our first review in contemporary culture is the fascinating title, Why Time Flies, a mostly scientific investigation by Alan Burdick. It's read by George Newbern with an introduction from the author. Alan Burdick covers a lot of ground, including a trip to the Arctic, as he investigates the perception of time. Psychology, philosophy, and science play a large role, but the human factor is always first and foremost. Narrator George Newbern gives listeners a sense of Burdick's surprise as he notes the changes in his circadian clock during an Arctic winter. He also makes Burdick's account of his insomnia back home relatable to listeners. Throughout the audiobook, Burdick tells how his sons gradually learned the concept of time, showing how humans developed that sense. Commentary on the ways humans' sense of time shifts with age may also resonate with some listeners. Even listeners who think they aren't interested in something as commonplace as time will enjoy these explorations. James A. Stewart wrote that review of Why Time Flies, a mostly scientific investigation. It's by Alan Burdick, read by George Newbern with an introduction from the author. And it's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 9.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in contemporary culture is Humans Need Not Apply, A Guide to Wealth and Work in the Age of Artificial Intelligence. It's written by Jerry Kaplan and read by John Pruden. This audiobook on how the development of artificial intelligence threatens jobs, thereby exacerbating income inequality, is flawlessly narrated by John Pruden. Kaplan's ideas on what artificial intelligence, particularly as manifested in robots, will be capable of doing for humans are astonishing. Machines that analyze information will outwit humans at such activities as making complex diagnoses, writing legal briefs, and analyzing big data. Pruden's lively reading blends well with the discussions on the moral obligations of developing and using artificial intelligence, topics that are often overlooked amid the excitement of the engineering. Pruden dispassionately portrays Kaplan's vision of reduced work and increased leisure time. His clear diction and good pacing invite listener engagement with the ways artificial intelligence will transform the way we live. Susan C. Awe wrote that review of Humans Need Not Apply, A Guide to Wealth and Work in the Age of Artificial Intelligence. It's written by Jerry Kaplan, read by John Pruden. It was a 2017 Audie's finalist, and it is available from Tantor Media for 6 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have We Should All Be Feminists by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, read by the author. This brief reflection on the state of gender in contemporary society is told in quiet but firm tones by its author. Listeners will shake their heads as she recounts the multiple microaggressions faced by young women in Nigeria. The sexism at the root of each anecdote resonates because the stereotypes are universal. Adichie makes her point with a steady, even tone, and through her strong thesis, she gives voice to the many contradictions women cope with in our contemporary world. Equally important, she challenges men to recognize how these issues limit people of both genders. The entire essay can be listened to all at once, during a long drive, or wait. Listeners may want to rewind a few of the sections more than once. Mohana Rajakumar wrote that review of We Should All Be Feminists. It's written by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, and it's available from Random House Audio for 45 minutes, unabridged. And did I mention that she reads it herself? Next, we have The Untold Story of the Talking Book by Matthew Rubery. It's read by Jim Dennison. Jim Dennison narrates this audiobook about audiobooks. It doesn't get more meta than that for listeners. Rubery reveals the audiobook's history, from its technological emergence in the late 19th century to the commercial explosion of audiobooks in the last 50 years. Throughout, he contemplates the many complicated considerations that authors, narrators, producers, and listeners have grappled with, all addressing this question: what does listening to an audiobook mean in terms of reading? Dennison delivers the discussion in a straightforward and clear voice that has strong projection and good cadence. Overall, he enhances this production, so essential for audiophiles. Lance Eaton wrote that review of The Untold Story of the Talking Book. It's by Matthew Rubery, read by Jim Dennison, available from Blackstone Audio for 11.5 hours, unabridged. Finally, today we have The Revenge of Analog, Real Things and Why They Matter, written and read by David Sachs. As futurist Alvin Toffler predicted in the mid-80s, the more high-tech society becomes, the more many people long to return to some of the old ways, which Toffler called high touch. David Sachs enthusiastically analyzes a similar phenomenon in the 21st century as vinyl records, Polaroid cameras, writing with pen and paper, and brick-and-mortar stores, what Sachs calls real things as opposed to the virtual, are making a comeback. Sachs's own emotional investment comes through as he reports on businesses and individuals who are doing things the way they used to be done. While listeners may not be happy to hear about the increased costs of going offline, the author's explorations of the new analog make for fascinating listening. James A. Stewart wrote that review of The Revenge of Analog, Real Things and Why They Matter by David Sachs, read by the author. It's available from Hachette Audio for 9.25 hours, unabridged. And that's our show for today. But I really hope you'll tune in next time when we'll have the June-July issue of Audiophile magazine. As usual, filled with reviews of your favorite authors on audio, narrated by some of the best voices in the business. Narrator highlights and special features about all things audio. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.